but they simply will not fix the issue. And that's where grace has to come in. That's what God did for us, yes? We came to a point, the thief on the cross, as we looked at it, he came to a point where he realized I have nothing left I can do. I can't earn it. I can't make up for what I've done. I've spent my whole life doing wrong, and now I can't do anything about it. And that's where grace stepped in. And grace does not take away the guilt of a person. Is it ready? Yeah, come on. The grace doesn't mean that a person's not guilty anymore. Grace just simply says that we're not going to hold it against you. Thank you, Matt. All right, how's that? Is that okay?
Yes.
All right, we good? So grace says I'm not going to hold it against you. And so as we're talking about grace, we're talking about today. We're gonna kind of move on, because a lot of people have said to me, you know, Pastor, I see what you mean. You're right. There are times when I need to give grace to somebody. There are times when, as hard as that seems to me, there are some hurts that have come to mind. Maybe the person has passed away. There is nothing they can do. Maybe it's somebody who hasn't even asked for grace. So they haven't asked for forgiveness. They're not even trying to get your forgiveness. So, Pastor, how do I do that? You know, you say, I get what I'm supposed to do. I get that Jesus forgave me and I'm supposed to forgive others, but how? How do I do that? And that's what today's message really is all about. And today, I'm just going to warn you kind of right up front. Today, if you had trouble with the last two messages, you're really going to have trouble with today's. It's much worse. As we delve deeper into what grace really is, today we're going to find it gets really personal. And today, the title of my message is Grace is Unsettling. And when I say that, what I mean is grace gets down inside of us and it forces us to look at some things we don't want to look at, to consider some things about ourselves that we don't want to consider. And so grace is very unsettling, but today's truth is critical in order to do what we talked about, which is giving grace to other people. So today, I would illustrate it this way. You know, it's sort of unsettling. Here's what happens. We get into the scripture. You know, most of us, we're kind of living our lives. You know, we're just sort of going about things. You know, we've had an issue with somebody, but we just sort of push it aside. It's just like, well, you know, I'm just not going to think about that. I'm not going to think about what that person did to me or what maybe I did to somebody else. Somebody's hurt us. But when we, you know, but we come up against an issue like today, where it's Jesus is going to kind of get in our faces. He's going to get in our faces if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, Jesus comes along and he sort of messes up our lives, because we had this principle that we read in Scripture called an eye for an eye. So he's like, you know, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, I can go back to the Old Testament. I can read Deuteronomy. Eye for an eye. My husband cheated on me. I'm going to cheat on him. My wife said this to me. I'm going to say something back to her. My friend betrayed me. I'm going to betray him. Josh said something about me on Facebook, and I'm going to punch him in the face. No. And I'm going to say something about him. And it's biblical. An eye for an eye. See, and Jesus came along and he messed that up, because we had Scripture to back up our revenge. We did. It's called justice. The problem is grace ignores justice. Amen. And grace says, yeah, that's called justice. That's called balance. But we're not looking for balance. Did we not see in week number one? We think that grace and truth balance each other out. Well, the truth is, so yeah, I'm justified. No, and my Bible says that Jesus came along and he was full of grace and truth. You see, he was all truth and all grace. He was all truth in that he called sinners sinners and he called sin sin. But then he laid down his life and died for them. See, he was both, all grace and all truth. And you know, a lot of us as Christians, we think we get to choose some balance there. Well, you know, I grew up this way, so I'm going to be much more inclined to truth. You know, I'm going to hold you to this standard. That's kind of where I came from. I was thrown out of fundamentalism. I was run out, tarred and feathered, mane blamed and framed, and I was thrown out of fundamentalism because I said, hey, there's something more than just truth. There's grace too. A lot of us, we grew up in churches that were all truth. And some, all grace. And all grace, you don't learn anything, you don't grow. But all truth is harsh, and there's no grace to be found anywhere. And so it's not a balance of the two. It's both. And so as we look today, then, I want to kind of bring up, grace is a lot like a mirror. How is it unsettling? Because grace is a lot like a mirror. You have a mirror at home, right? That you look at. Now, some of us only have mirrors above our sinks because we're not interested in anything from here down. Amen. I'm not interested in seeing that. But we look in a mirror. Have you ever gone somewhere? Okay, so you have a mirror at home and you look at your face in it. And then you go somewhere. And whether it's a restaurant or maybe somebody else's house or something like that, or a hotel or something. And there's a mirror there that is like super clear and really well lit. Right? And what do? We can't help ourselves. We sort of lean in. And it's like, man, I don't like what I see. I'm going back to my mirror. Right? Because that mirror is so well lit. We see who we really are. We see what we really look like. And we don't like that. And so if you do have a full-length mirror at home, this is what we do. We get dressed, we stand in front of that full-length mirror and we sort of, we suck it in. Yeah, I'm looking pretty good. We turn and we look at straight on. So that we see this same view of ourselves, and then somebody comes along and somebody takes a picture. We're out in some setting and somebody takes a picture and we're like, we're totally relaxed. We're turned to the side and the receding hairline that we were sure they photoshopped that. And it's like, I look like that? That's how I look. Kurt, you know what? Not everybody has your metabolism, dude. So stop laughing at me. Sitting here laughing at me, he said, yeah, dude, I can totally see that with you. We hate people like you. We really do. So, but we see that. And we see this real, true image of ourselves. Now, James, the half-brother of Jesus, he totally got this concept. And isn't it unsettling when you see that? Like I said, when you see that in a mirror, it is unsettling, isn't it? It's like, what I thought of myself isn't really accurate. I'm not exactly like I thought. I'm not as good as I thought I was. I'm not as fit as I thought I was. I'm not as, you fill in the blank. And so James understood that, and grace is unsettling like that. But before we extend it to somebody else, we've got to understand this the way James said it. So James is talking in the first chapter of the book of James. He's talking about those who, they hear the word of God. They know what the Bible says about forgiveness. They see the word of God. They see it in. They read their Bibles and they see right there. It says I'm supposed to forgive. It says I'm supposed to put away bitterness. It says I'm supposed to love my enemy. It says I'm supposed to do this. They see it. They hear it, but they don't do it. Here's what he said about them. James chapter 1. Notice, he said, but you need to be doers of the word, and not hearers only. If you hear it and don't do it, you're actually lying to yourself. Now, wait, he didn't say, we think about it, we say, well, what do you mean I'm lying to myself? Just because I don't do it, maybe I just don't want to do it. No, he said, if you really hear what Jesus has to say, then you will do it. You'll have no choice. You'll be so overcome by what he shows you, you won't be able to help yourself. He goes on, verse 23. He said, for if any is a hearer of the word and not a doer, then he's like unto a man seeing his natural face in a mirror. Kind of like at the hotel or at that restaurant, like we talked about. You see it for what it really is. And then what happens? Verse 24. He sees himself, then he goes his way, and he immediately forgets what manner of man he truly is. He said, see, the problem is, we don't go back and look in the mirror often enough. Amen. I mean a good mirror. Right. I mean one like the Word of God shining a light. Amen. On it. And he said, He said, when you don't do that, you as soon as you go your way, you forget what you really, and you go back to that vision of yourself that's not real. It's what you think. It's that one we look at most of the time. You know, you use your window of your car as kind of a mirror. You say, yeah, I look pretty good. Good enough. Good enough. He said, no, no, no. He said, the Word of God is a really, really good mirror. Amen. And so that's really, honestly, that's our biggest problem in giving grace. If we're going to be talking about grace today, which we are, it, bless you, it forces us to go back and look in that mirror. And I'll explain to you why. Before I'm ever going to be able to give grace to somebody else, I have to first go back and see what I really am. When I go back and see what I really look like, when I go back to that moment when Jesus found me, see, I'm so far removed from that now. And he said, no, you're not. No, you're not. You look exactly like you did then. The difference is you have some grace in your life. Maybe your bad thoughts aren't as frequent, and that's good, and they ought to be. That ought to change. Our lives should change when we meet Jesus, folks. If your life's not changing, need to go back and kind of question, have I really met Jesus? But we're not ever going to have arrived. But he said, you need to, you know, go back to that time when you met Jesus. Now, you know, you go back and you look at ourselves once again. Now, most of us think, well, that's not really true. I mean, I know I'm not perfect, Pastor, but, you know, what this person did to me is so much worse than anything I've done. I can go back and I can look at my life, but I've never done this. I would never do that. I would never treat my wife. I would never say this to my husband. I would never do to my neighbor. I would never, what my parents did to me, I would never do to my child. We can go on and on, can't we? Because that's kind of where we're at. Now, let me just say, I know that. And I'm just like you. And you're right. But we all agreed 3 weeks ago that we were going to let Jesus decide, right? Amen. Did we agree with that?
Yes.
We agreed that if Jesus told us something different than what we think, that we were going to go ahead and accept what he said, right?
Amen.
Now, if you weren't here 3 weeks ago, you're not off the hook. Because I'm asking you now. If Jesus has a different view than you've got, are you going to let his view be the right one?
Amen.
If Jesus says something different than the way you look, if you say, well, I think I look pretty good, and Jesus says, well, look in my mirror. No, look, this is not negative. Please, it's not a negative message. But can we agree that if Jesus says something different, we gotta side with him? Because he really can see us a little bit better. So we come back to the account that Matthew gave us of Jesus talking with his followers. And so we're going to go back to Scripture now. As I get back there, we're going to eventually get to Matthew 7. We're not going to go there yet. Jesus, sort of spiritually speaking, is on a roll. I mean, for in kind of a churchy way, in sort of a spiritual way, he's on a roll. Chapter 4, he has Satan come to him and tempts him 3 times, and he fasted for 40 days. 40 days and 40 nights he fasted. Now, I don't know, that's a long fast. Now, I personally fast about 100 days worth a year. I do it in 8-hour segments. From 10 p.m. till 6 a.m. Every day. Every day. Every day. I begin my day with a fast. And then I break it. Look, Jesus fasted for 40 days. And then Satan came to him and tempted him 3 times. He's on a roll. Chapter 5, if you know the book of Matthew very well, if you've read that, that's that chapter that's the Sermon on the Mount. Everybody's heard of that, or most people have heard of that. You know, the blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the poor, and all those. He is teaching this stuff, and all of the followers, this huge crowds have gathered. It looked like Woodstock on this hillside. All these people have gathered to hear this man who, in their words, they said, he speaks like nobody else speaks. He's got this huge crowd. Chapter 6, then, he goes into that. He gives them the model prayer. You know, the one that that oftentimes we will say, and he just meant it to be a model, but, you know, we'll often say that, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that whole thing. And then he finishes it up with that whole passage about, you know, God cares enough about the sparrows, he makes sure they have food, and he clothes the lilies and all that, and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things shall be added unto you. That's where we're at in Scripture. Are you with me? So Jesus is on a roll. And then he comes to chapter 7. And he absolutely smacks his followers in the face with a question. He comes to them and he asks a question that, frankly, you know, if you're not a Christian, he's not talking to you. And today you'll be glad you're not a Christian. But you don't want to leave that way. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you're going to like a lot of this message, but you don't want to stay that way. Because, well, we'll get into that later. But his followers are just eating this up. I mean, they're just gathered. In chapter 7, he starts and he hits them with this question. He asks them what is probably the most unsettling and offensive question that he ever asked anybody. And here's what it is. In Matthew chapter 7, verse number 3. He said, "Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not consider the beam that is in your own eye?" I mean, this is like pointed, right? And they're like, what happened to blessed are the, you know, the meek and they shall inherit the earth? We kind of like that, Jesus. We kind of liked it when you were talking about, you know, when you pray, go do it in secret. You were kind of on those publicans and those tax collectors and you kind of railed on that. We kind of go back to that. And Jesus said, no. He said, "What I want to know is, if you're going to follow me, why are you so concerned about the speck in his eye when you've got a beam in your own eye?" Now, the answer to that is kind of obvious. It's because they're not looking in a mirror, right? And that's kind of the short answer. The short answer is you can't see what's sticking out of your eye, but you can see what's sticking out of somebody else's eye. And I can. So, but really, you know, the people of that day, you know, their answer probably was, you know, they were probably shocked and they were probably saying, "Well, I don't know what you're talking about, Jesus. First of all, what I'm looking at in her eye, it's not a speck. It's not a speck. You say it's a speck, but it's not a speck. I mean, you know, she said this to me. You don't even know my story. How can you say it's a speck in her eye? That's not a speck. She felt the burn in the last election." "Jesus, you don't know. She does this and she goes there and he does that. My brother-in-law is this and my see, we've got, it's not a speck. You don't know what he did to me when I was a child. It's not a speck, Jesus. Jesus, what happened to me when I was 4 by that monster is not a speck." And that's true between people, isn't it? The things that we hold, look, it would be understandable for somebody to say, "Jesus, you know, if it was just a speck, I wouldn't still be holding on to it." And that's fair. That's fair. "Well, you know, Pastor, you cannot expect me to overlook this, what my husband did. That's not just a speck. That's huge. It altered my life. It made me fearful still to this day. I can't trust anybody else because of what this person did. That's not a speck." And I think we can all understand that, can't we? It doesn't seem like a speck. Where is Jesus getting this? You know, now, you know, Jesus said, "Why do you look, though, at the speck that's in your brother's eye?" And between two people, those things aren't specks. Child abuse is horrible, isn't it? Infidelity in marriage, it's awful. It's a betrayal. Abandonment is life-changing. It affects us, not just as a child, but as a teen. Decisions that were made, you know, you go back to, you know, there are some people that, you know, they go back to junior high school years and they were mocked and made fun of, maybe humiliated in front of other people. Those aren't specks, are they? They, to us, they don't seem like specks. They are very real hurts. And they stay with us for a very, very long time. So Jesus, it wasn't just a speck. I wouldn't be holding on to it. I'm not stupid. and I'm not a bad person. And that's true. That's true. But secondly, I think they, see, we would all be naturally defensive. Secondly, then, I think they would say, not only is that not a speck, but I don't have a beam in my eye. Jesus, I see things clearly. I can see things how they are. Every teenager in the room can see things very clearly. Right? Every mother can see things very clearly. Look, if you would just let me help you, I could explain to you how the world is. Jesus was looking at these people that said, I don't have a beam in my eye. I'm not affected. You know, just I could just see them saying, look, I'm not affected by some things. Let me give you some things. My outlook on life is so realistic. I'm not affected by my childhood or my childhood trauma. That, you know, what happened to me, that was, you know, yes, it hurt and I'm in pain and I'm going to hold on to that, but it didn't change who I am. My parents, well, my parents had issues, my parents did this to me and my parents did that, but that doesn't affect how I'm going to do things. It only to make me better. You know, the fact that they were divorced, you know, that didn't affect me. I'm not, my outlook on life isn't affected by that. Wait a minute. But our position is, we see things clearly, right? See, I'm looking at my marriage now, and it has, and I'm not looking at my marriage with any kind of tainted view based on my last divorce, right? My environment. I'm not affected by the environment, the experiences I've had, the successes, the failures. See, those things don't cloud or distort my view of things. I can see clearly. I don't have a beam in my eye. My education, your education doesn't affect how you see things, right? Or your lack thereof. It doesn't affect our lives, right? The opportunities you've had, your dating life. I don't have any issues with trusting my husband because of some things that happened when I was dating in my teen years. Those don't affect me. That's not influencing me in how I see the world. Your job, your health, your skin color. You know, my health doesn't affect that. The fact that I'm in pain every day, that doesn't have any bearing on how I see things. My church experience. Yeah, I had a bad experience at that church, but that hasn't kept me from, wait, maybe it has kept me from my finances, the death of loved one, and so on. You get the idea. So the point is, Jesus is looking at us and he's saying, you know, you've got some beams in your eyes. It's not that you're a bad person. And he never called us a bad person. He just simply said, you have some beams. And so he said, you have some childhood trauma that is affecting how you see things. That your parents and the issues they had or the environment that you had or the successes or the failures in your life, they are having an impact on how you're seeing what that person did to you. Amen. It does affect you. It has to. You're a human being. So what happened to you as a child, what happened to you as a teenager, what happened to you as an adult, what happened to you in that marriage, what happened to you in this and that, all those things are going to affect you. And Jesus was simply trying to point out to them, you have a beam in your eye, which makes it really, really impossible for you to clearly see what's in that person's eye, what their motivation was. Amen. Oh, they just wanted to hurt me. And Jesus said, look, you think they wanted to hurt you because that person back when you were 7 wanted to hurt you. Well, I can't ever trust because of this. He's saying, you've got these beams in your life. Now, so Jesus ignores any issues they might have had, and he goes on, verse number 4, watch. He says, so how can you say to your brother, let me pull the speck out of your eye while there's still a beam in your eye? He said, how do you think you can fix him when you are broken? How do you think you can fix this person who's struggling with something when you are still dealing with your own trust issues? You're still dealing with your own insecurity. You're still dealing with your own bitterness. You're still struggling over the way you were treated at that last job and you've carried it into this job. How can you tell this coworker what he's doing wrong? You're still struggling with how you were treated 2 jobs ago. You're still hurting about that. He said, you've got beams in your eye. And now look, and here's where we begin to think, wow, Jesus isn't showing a whole lot of grace here. We haven't seen anything yet. Because all he's been doing is winding up. Now he's going to land the punch. And if you're not a Christian, you are going to love what you're about to see. If you've never come to the point in your life where you have become a Jesus follower like many of us, like most of us probably in this room, you're going to love what he says right now. Because here's what he said. Verse 5. He said, you hypocrite. And I mean all the unchurched unbelievers, they're going, it's about time. Somebody's giving it to those church people. Somebody's giving it to those Bible thumpers. Somebody's giving it to those holier than thou. I didn't know Jesus did that. And by the way, he wasn't talking to you if you're not a believer. He was talking to us. He was talking to his followers. He wasn't talking to the people who hadn't made up their minds yet. He was talking to the people who said, I follow Jesus. Amen. Amen. He says, you hypocrite. Amen. Now that seems kind of harsh. Jesus was all grace and all truth. Amen. He said, you're a hypocrite. He said, you know, in this case, you know, he knew. See, what did Jesus know? He said, let me explain to you why you're a hypocrite. Because I know you. When I met you, when I came to you, can I tell you how I found you? I found that you were influenced by some things that made you do some of the things you did in life, such as your childhood. Amen. He says, see, I knew what your childhood did to you. He said, I know what that person did to you. I know the trauma you faced. I know the hurts. I know that you stayed up and couldn't sleep and cried yourself as a teenager to sleep. And I know those things that caused you nightmares. And I know what that first man in your life did and that first woman in your life did. I know that. I know what your parents did. I know what happened in the divorce. I know what happened in the environment you grew up in, the neighborhood you grew up in, and I know how that experience and how, you know, that success and that failure, and I know how that failure caused you to think you're always a failure. And I know your education maybe wasn't what it needed, and I know your opportunities and all these things. He said, I know all these things. He took all those things into consideration. Watch, here's the thing. He took all that into consideration. Amen. And he said, you know, anybody who went through what you went through would do some of the wrong things that you did. And so I'm going to give you grace.
Amen.
See, he took into consideration the things that made us do the things we did. He took into consideration the fact that you had something awful happen to you and you ended up making some awful choices. And he looked at me and he said, you know, I know the failures that people were in your life. And because of that, you failed other people in their lives. And so I'm giving you grace. That's what grace is, folks. That's what he gave to us. He said, I know all these things. I'm taking all these things into consideration. And I'm giving you grace. Now, then he stepped up and said, now I want you to do the same thing. Do you want to know how we can extend grace to somebody else? Because we have to realize they had a childhood. Do you know people who are abused as children oftentimes become abusers? The person who abused you likely was abused. The person who said something horrible to you likely had somebody say something horrible to them. The person who hurt you also had some of those same experiences you had. Your first marriage probably ended because maybe both of you had this stuff and neither one of you knew. It wasn't all his fault. It wasn't all her fault. Yes, you say, well, they were such a monster. They did this. Yes, they probably had monster modeled in front of them. It doesn't make it right. I'm not excusing it. I'm not saying it's okay. What I'm saying is Jesus took all of your stuff into consideration, my stuff. He looked at me and he said, Eric, you are messed up. Amen. You're messed up. You're so broken. And you're broken in ways that you can't fix. And it's going to take me a while to fix them. He said, but I'm going to give you grace right now. I mean, right now, I'm giving you grace. Those things are done. Those mistakes you made are done. The failure, your sin against me, it's gone. Well, I still feel like I did those things because you did. He didn't say you weren't guilty anymore. He just said there's no penalty for you anymore. Amen. And he's not telling you that person who hurt you so badly isn't guilty. Maybe they don't even care. Maybe they don't even think they did anything wrong. He said, but there was a long time when you didn't think you did anything wrong. Amen. And the reason is because of the opportunities you had in your dating life, in your teen years, in your job, in your health, and your skin, all these things. You had all this stuff that clouded your view. They were beams in your eyes. You couldn't see it. You can't see it in yourself. You can't see how your view is distorted. So I'm giving you grace. Now understand that the person who you're so upset with probably can't see it either. Amen. They can't see it because they've got a beam in their eye. They might not even be a Christian. Did you know that lost people act like lost people? People without Jesus Christ act like people without Jesus Christ. They get up in the middle of a service and leave. Anybody else got a potty? Look, some of the people you're upset with because they're so horrible to you, they may not even have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of them. How are they supposed to know any better? Can you imagine being lost and without the Holy Spirit's help to deal with all this and so much more? If your thing's not on that list, you know, please understand, I just threw some things up there. But we've all got a list. And Jesus said, Jesus said, you know something? You don't invent pain. You just recycle pain. We just recycle pain, folks. There's no new pain in the world. The pain that somebody put into your life, they got somewhere else. And it just recycled in their experiences and their environment and their parents and their childhood and all that stuff. And it came out on you. And they were hurting when they hurt you. You say, but Pastor, they knew what they were doing. It seems that way. Yes, they maybe knew the action they were taking, but they didn't know why they were doing it. How could my father, how could my mother, how could my sister, how could my friend, how could this? Because they didn't know why they were acting the way they were acting. And Jesus said, just like I took all that into consideration when I gave you grace, now, I want you to take it all into consideration. Even though you don't know it, just trust me. Jesus said, look, I know all your stuff. You don't know all their stuff. You'll never know all their stuff. They don't know all their stuff. They couldn't even tell you all their stuff. But there's a reason why they did what they did. And it wasn't because they're horrible. It was simply because they were broken in a way that you can't understand and I can't understand. You know, before we go, let me give you the real message here as Jesus gave it to us. See, this is not about, okay, all right, Pastor, fine. Look, anytime somebody says that to me, the counseling session's not over. All right, Pastor, fine. Just tell me what to do. I'm not going to tell you what to do. Amen. This is not about you going out and just being nice to that person you've not been nice to all this time because you've been mad. It's not about that. We're not talking about anything on the outside. We're talking about something on the inside.
That's right.
So let's go back to verse 5 and let's wrap this up. He said, you hypocrite, first remove the beam from your own eye. Amen. Go back and look in the mirror.
Amen.
And all that means is just recognize that you had stuff. You had an issue. You were abused, you were hurt, you were mistreated, you were betrayed, you were robbed, you were attacked, you were raped, you were this, you were that. You have every reason to be broken. And it's not a shame to be broken. It's life. He said, but you've got to go back and remember the stuff in your life that you did because you were broken. And he said, that's the beam. Realize there was a reason why you did those things. Take that out of your eye. Get that bitterness away from your... He said, go back and realize what I saved you from. And let me say it this way. I'm messing this up now. Let me back up. Let me say it this way. The less I look at myself and I realize how much further Jesus needs to fix in me, how much further He needs to take me,
amen,
the less I have to realize or worry about how much further He's got to take you.
Amen.
The more I realize about how much more Jesus needs to do in me, the less I need to be concerned about what He needs to do in you. And it's not something to bring us down. It's something to lift us up.
Amen.
And say, wow, that's right. Jesus saved me from so much. In spite of all my stuff. So I'm supposed to take care of that. And get that straight in my mind. And then when I recognize that, again, you can't take that out of your life. Here, I'm afraid I'm going to confuse you. I'm not saying you go back and remove your memory of being abused. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you go back and realize, that's why I did that.
Amen.
I was taught wrong. That's why I did that. I was confused and insecure and scared. And that's why I did that. And Jesus took that into consideration. He said, it's okay. I have grace for you. So now I can see clearly to say, well, that's why she did that. Something like that happened to her. Something like that happened to him. And that's why he did. This is why my husband did this, because he didn't know what was better to do. He didn't know what was right to do. He messed up because he was broken. We're both broken. So maybe we just recognize that in ourselves and offer grace to one another. So where are you today? If you're a child of God today, if you're a Christian, if you're a born-again believer, call it whatever you want, follower of Jesus is what we say it around here. If you're following Jesus Christ, then He is offering to us an answer, a solution to our relationship problems. He's offering to us a way for us to go ahead and forgive and let it go.
Amen.
And stop being bitter and stop being upset all the time. He said, listen, just go back, realize you had stuff that made you do the things you did that I forgave and gave you grace. Now do the same for that person.